Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Michael.
Hi, Andrea.
I have to be honest with you, I am so relieved to see a Jew.
Do you have any irrational fears? What's the worst fad you were into? Is there any job that you would be terrible at?
Underwater welder?
Don't say that about yourself.
Do you guys have any useless talents?
I kicked one of those delivery robots.
What? You kicked one?
Yelling. I kick those all the time.
They have names on them.
Good.
I can make smoke come out of my mouth with nothing.
Do it.
You want to see it?
What the f***? Are you a dragon?
Out now, Long Time No See, the podcast, season 2. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahn, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by Sound Mind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offering, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back in unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Plus, get free premium delivery on any bed with base. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store today.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out, it's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, and then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead, download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
The Opus, an exploration of legendary records and their ongoing legacy. Not just the history, but how this music continues to evolve, shaping lives, shaking rafters, and ingraining itself into our culture. We're opening the vault on a recent classic records re-release, delving into its inner workings and lasting impact. Maybe you're a longtime fan who wants to go deeper. Maybe you're a first-time listener and you're curious to hear more. Either way, you're in the right place. Find us at Consequence of Sound, iTunes, or wherever you tune into podcasts.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey,
Welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's an audio interview series presented by WFPK Independent Louisville at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Take a moment before we get started here to hit the subscribe button wherever you're listening from right now, whether it's on YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your favorite podcast from, hit the subscribe button there. We put out multiple interviews every single week. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest is Darius Rucker. He is back in the land of Hootie and the Blowfish. Why? Because 2019 is the 25th anniversary of Cracked Rear View. The band is back together. They've just announced a tour, and they're going to be putting out new music as well. So we're going to be getting an update on all of that. But of course, we're going to be heading back to that record that sold like 20 some odd million copies. Everybody had a copy of Cracked Rear View. And if you didn't, you knew 10 people who did. I'm going to be asking about some of the deeper tracks on there, like Drowning in Time. Of course, we'll bring up Only Want to Be With You. And did you know that David Crosby was on that record? I'm finally going to get the story on that one as well. Then we'll head to 1998, Musical Chairs. It was their third album. It's a big favorite of mine. It found them in an interesting moment on TRL in a time where you wouldn't expect to see Hootie and the Blowfish on TRL. And it also planted the seeds of the country life, the country music life that Darius Rucker would eventually have. In fact, we do jump to 2008 as well to talk about the 10th anniversary of his debut country album, Learn to Live. There's a lot of years to cover and a lot of great music inside. It's Kyle Meredith with Darius Rucker of Hootie and the Blowfish.
Hey, this is Darius.
Well, let's see. I don't know whether we start in the past or the present here, but suddenly you're back in the land of Hootie and the Blowfish again for the first time in a long time. How's that feeling?
You know, it's old hat, man. We, you know, every time we get back together, we get right back into the same dynamics of our relationship. So it feels old hat.
Well, I know it's been part of your life for, what, over half of your life, I guess, at this point. But maybe we'll start with the present here, because that's sort of the news, right? It's like the band is back again.
Yeah, you know, making a record and doing a tour, and then in a long time, you know, it's going to be, it's excited about it. It's going to be fun doing the record, getting the record together right now. Been a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to going back out and playing for everybody again.
Was it just time? I mean, what brought this on at this point?
We were talking about doing something for a while, and we thought the 25th anniversary of Cracked Review would be a good time to go back out and do it again.
So what's it sounded like? I mean, what can we know about this record so far? Is it where you left off? I mean, obviously everybody's got a lot of miles behind them since the last one.
Oh, yeah. It's been a long time since we made it. It's been probably 12, 13 years since we made a record, so maybe longer than that. You know, it's us. You know, we once again, you know, it's all about the songs for us. So, you know, we're going to sound like we sound no matter what. So it's all about the songs. I think we got some great songs. I'm really excited for people to hear.
And as you're talking about, you know, it's the 25th anniversary of Cracked Rear View. We're talking about one of the biggest albums of all time. The moment, I'm guessing, your life completely changed. What goes into looking back on this right now? I mean, has there been a lot of concentrating on that record for you?
Oh, goodness, no. No, you know, that record was an anomaly, man. You know, that was something that, that record, it was perfect timing and a perfect record for that time. And, you know, I mean, what, 21, 22 million records in the States later, you know, here we are. But, not really. We never really do that. We just go ahead and move on to the next one and see what happens.
I mean, you talk about that many millions. I started thinking about too, because yeah, other than, you know, the demo and EP stuff before that, you know, the Coochie Pop or whatever, you know, this happened and it's such a massive success right out of the gates. Is there a curse of too much success?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you have that much success, no matter what happens after that, is a flop. You know, I think Fairweather Johnson sold 5 or 6 million copies, and it was a flop.
That's crazy.
That's crazy to think, you know, but of course there is. And there's the backlash. There's the backlash of being that big that comes with everybody. Every time it happens to somebody, there's some kind of backlash. So you just, you know, you deal with it, you go on and try to have a career.
Isn't that so warped? I mean, how that happens in celebrity, that because you got popular, suddenly, you know, suddenly you've got to deal with, you should be having fun right then, right? You should be. It should be all celebration. And yet there's that side of it.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, it's crazy to think about all that, you know, but it comes, you know, that having that kind of backlash, having that kind of thing, it means you did something important, did something big, did something that affected people, even affected people negatively, you know, and so that's something you can be proud of.
Yeah, these songs, you know, I didn't know this until reading just recently as I'm preparing for the interview and everything. Some of these songs had been around since the late 80s, I guess. And I thought if Cracked Rearview sounded different in the age of grunge's height, where exactly did they come from in a time of the late 80s when they would have sounded even more out of sound, I guess, unless you're in comparison to something like REM, which I know you're big fans of.
Yeah, for us, that was, you know, the grunge thing was never really big for us. You know, we never really, I mean, we liked it. You know, it was cool. Nirvana was cool. You know, those bands were cool. I liked the songs, you know, but it wasn't like we heard that and went, oh, we have to sound like that. You know, we were already making our music and doing what we wanted to do, so we just kept doing what we wanted and didn't care. You know, then, and don't get me wrong, when we came out with Cracked Rearview, we didn't think it was going to do what it did because grunge was king, and you know, we just were hoping that Atlantic will let us make another record.
That's always a good bar to set right there. I just hope they'll let us make another record.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Checking out some of these songs, too, because Drowning's always been such a powerful song. And you know, when I hear it now, though, I don't think of 93. When I hear it now, I think of 2015. I think of that Confederate flag debate that we just went through a few years ago. I think of, you know, 2009 when the Muslim hate crimes started rising. I mean, this is a song. It's one of those songs that unfortunately continues to stay relevant in a way. And I didn't know if it still resonated with you like that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we still play a few shows a year, and every time we play that song, and you know, it still resonates for me because I think it means as much today as it's been. It's as important today as it was when we put out 94. You know, I mean, I think that's one of those songs with the way America is and the way America's going is always going to be relevant because there's always going to be that hate. There's always going to be that just that faction of America, that faction of people who think it's okay to hate people for because of their religion or the color of their skin or stuff like that. And I just think that's crazy. And that's why it's sad that a song like Drowning was always going to be relevant.
You speak predominantly to, you know, country audiences these days. There's an idea of country audiences being, you know, a more conservative, thought-based group. And I don't know if you want to, you know, dispel that or play into it or whatever, but do those worlds ever clash, you know, because you do talk about this stuff a lot in a lot of your songs.
I think country music is, I mean, it gets that reputation of being very conservative. I think there's a lot of people on both sides of the aisle in country music, especially today. You see how big it's getting. There's no way it's just, you know, only conservative people listen to country music. It doesn't work that way. But, you know, it's, you know, I'm going to be me no matter what, you know, and I'm not a preacher. I don't preach to people. I don't tell them how I think they should feel. I just tell it like I see it. And so if you like that, you can deal with it. Great. If not, you know, I guess you don't want to listen to my music.
I'm going to hit a couple more of his songs here from Cracked Rearview too, because Time, you wrote that song. You were pretty young when you wrote the song Time. What did you know about the passage of time at that point, and does it feel different now?
Oh, dude, that song's grown so much for me. I wrote that when I was really young. I was in my early 20s. You know, when Mark brought that music, he said, write some lyrics to this, and you know, I wrote Time, and yeah, it's evolved so much. The words haven't changed any, but you know, as you get older, time becomes something that you think about more, I guess. And so, you know, that opening line when I don't believe in time, you know, that evolves all the time. That evolves every day into something more and more and real. You know, it's a song that's another song that I think is going to resonate for a while.
I mean, it's always funny that as we're young, you know, when we're so young is when we start thinking about that. You know, it seems like that would come much later, but I think we all do that too. You know, as soon as we hit 20, we're like, oh no, let's discuss death's door. You know, it's whatever.
You're absolutely right. You know, and then when you get older, you know, and you really have to start facing your immortality. I'm 52 now. I got, you know, friends and family members that die, and you really start facing, you know, you start saying stuff to yourself like, how much more time do I really got? You know, 30 tops. You know, and that's wild to think about.
I mean, people live into their hundreds these days, Darius. Let's not get dramatic here.
Yeah, but the life I've lived, I don't think God's gonna let me live into my hundreds.
I found that Only Want to Be With You becomes really relevant again, too, because Dylan just released his latest in the bootleg series, which happens to be More Blood, More Tracks. And I thought, what interesting timing that is. And I don't know if a lot of people, I know that was sort of part of the story when it came out, but I don't know if a lot of people were really aware of the story, that you're calling out some Dylan lyrics there. But how much of a pain did that end up being for you?
no, the, you know, they call, you know, when we, it was funny because we wrote the song and we sent it to Dylan's people and, you know, they were like, oh, that's a great tribute, you know, that's cool, no big problem, no big deal. And then, of course, we put it on an album that sells a million copies and, you know, then it's a big deal. but it was cool. You know, we handled it. They were cool about it. We were cool about it. We handled it. We did what they asked and, you know, it's all good now.
Have you heard the new bootleg version of that record?
No, I haven't yet. I'm going to download it and listen to it. I haven't heard it.
It's so good.
I mean, I love it. Sure is great.
Yeah.
That's my favorite era of Dylan, too, so I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, I've got a rocky, not a rocky relationship. I go back and forth because I don't know why, but I compare that record so much with Desire because of the styles and everything, and I think I end up leaning on Desire most of the time, but that's here nor there. And but I'll tell you, this new bootleg version is just gorgeous, completely gorgeous.
I got to hear it.
Yeah.
I'm going to get it today.
How did, we'll use one of his friends. How did David Crosby end up on Cracked Rearview?
Oh, goodness. We had a friend of ours. It was Kenny Rankin's daughter. Her name was Jenna Rankin. And she hung out with us. She was a friend of ours. And she was in the studio a lot. And we were sitting around one time having some drinks. She said, I can get David Crosby to come by. I was like, yeah, fucking right. Yeah, right. You can get David Crosby to come sing on the record. She's like, oh, I'll call him. And sure enough, she calls him. And later on that day, here comes David Crosby in the studio. It's still unbelievable. We still can't believe David Crosby sang on us.
And he sang back up on Hold My Hand, right?
Hold my hand, yep.
I've never known that. Like, I...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nuts. Because
I mean, if you listen to the song, you hear him the whole time. I mean, if you know David's voice, you listen to the song, you go, that's definitely David Crosby.
But that's amazing because at that point, I mean, of course you're rising in the ranks because, you know, you found a major label deal, but, you know, to a point where you could pull in, you know, well, a Hall of Fame, I mean, one of the greatest vocalists of all time. I mean, that says something right there.
It was really crazy. Because, you know, he came in, he had never heard of us, and he's hanging out with us, we're having a great time, and we're laughing and talking, and, you know, he's being funny. He's like, you know, he says there's something to Jenna, like, you know, maybe next time you get me to come sing on a band that somebody's heard of. You know, it was pretty funny. You know, it was very funny. And then he came in, and he killed it. I mean, I think he sang the song twice, and we were like, that's just awesome. I mean, that's just awesome.
Did he give you any pointers? I mean, was there like, oh, you should do this with the song, or did he just walk in as it is and just lay it on it?
Oh, he just walked in and laid it down.
Oh, wow.
He just walked in, he was David Crosby, laid it down. We're being produced by Don Gaiman, so he knew Don, too.
Oh, right,
you know,
right.
So it was a cool little thing.
That whole thing ended with a video of your summer, of the tour and everything, Summer Camp with Trucks. I don't know, have you seen that recently? Because I figured, like, that's got to be a cool little snapshot.
I'd like to see that again. I haven't seen it since we put it out. But I'd like to see that again. I bet that's pretty funny.
Jump ahead a few years because Cracked Rearview officially turns 25 next year. This year there is an anniversary as well, and it's a record that gets looked over. Musical Chairs was released 20 years ago this year. And let me tell you, the first thing I remember about that record is I was watching MTV and TRL was on and you all popped in. I don't know if you remember this day, but it was so sort of out of nowhere. And I think I remember you saying that your manager or your label didn't know that you were there and they were probably going to, I don't know if be upset was the right thing, but but we're just unaware that you were about to be on MTV and debuting a new song live.
I remember that. Yeah. We were there and Carson's friend and, you know, we were there and we were like, yeah, we'll play. Well, you know, we'll play or, you know, we'll play a song. And you know, that was just, that's a different time right there. You know, we just happened to be around New York and happened to be in the building and they asked if we wanted to do something and it worked out good.
Yeah. I mean, but here's the interesting thing. You played Desert Mountain that day, if I remember right. And I thought, looking back now, like, that's crazy considering what MTV was at that point, what pop music was at that point.
Yeah. You know, and what pop music was becoming. But, you know, we knew it wasn't going to be a single, but that was a song that we liked. So, you know, we played it.
Did you get a sense of the sea change in music at that point? You know, because as you mentioned, you know, Cracked Rearview does it, and Fairweather, you know, it's not as big and everything, but, you know, still 4 or 5 million. That's huge. But here, when Musical Chairs comes out, I mean, what does, you know, pop life mean to you at that point?
Oh, the whole landscape is changing at that point. You know, it was going from grunge through us and Dave and everything into this what it is today, the urban, you know, the urban beats that it is today. So, you know, pop music was just changing drastically, and, you know, we were just trying to get it out of the way, I guess.
I mean, I don't know. Were the illusions of grandeur, you know, set aside at that point? The expectations changed?
Yeah, you know, it had, I think. You know, we were going to have our hit song AAA or whatever it was going to be, and hopefully get a song on pop radio here and there. But, you know, we just want to go tour. That's all we ever want to do is tour. So that's what we were concentrating on. Let's put out some records so we can tour.
But that record, you know, I want to give that record, you know, it's worth due, too, because I do think that's just, like, also when I listen to it now, and I listen to Desert Mountain, and I listen to Michelle Post, and I think, you know, this is the stems of what would eventually become Your Country Life in a way. I mean, I feel like the seeds are all over that record more so than the two before it.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I think the other two before that had maybe one or two hints of country and, you know, what I was listening to at the time. But I think Musical Chairs was really where you could see where I was headed, you know, because most of those songs, you know, I had a hand in writing or wrote myself. And so you could see where I was heading. But, you know, I think, I don't know, I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing that, you know, you can look at it and go, okay, I see, if I was listening, I wouldn't have been so surprised if he went to catch me.
And the great songs all through that. I mean, I named a few of them there, and the amount of time I've spent in my life humming Only Lonely to Me and the guitar riff at the beginning of Bluesy Revolution. I mean, that's taken up a lot of time in my life, those two songs.
Oh, man. I love all those songs. You just brought back a whole bunch of great memories. I love those songs, man.
And as Big Round Numbers go, it just so happens, as we're talking about this, that it also ends up being the 10th anniversary of Learn to Live as well. I mean, this is your reintroduction officially to the world, I guess, after a one little one-off R&B solo record far back in there as well. But did you take time? I mean, you know, I know you said you don't do a lot of looking back, but has there been any moments where you've said, oh, wow, this is 10 years of chapter, you know, 2, 3, whatever it is?
Oh, yeah. I've sat back and, I mean, it's crazy to think that I've been in Nashville for 10 years. You know, 5 records, 10 years, 10 number one songs. I mean, that's just, I didn't expect that. You know, I really always said that I wouldn't have given me a record deal if I was my brother. I wouldn't have given me a record deal, you know, because, you know, who would have given the African-American pop singer a record deal for country music? Who's going to believe that? Who's going to buy that? And who's going to believe that? Who's going to say, okay, this is working? And so I wouldn't have given me a record deal. And, you know, Capitol did, Mike Duncan did. And, you know, and not just gave me a record deal, but gave me a real shot. That was the thing that really got me. I mean, I understood the record deal, but, you know, giving me a real shot, working it and not giving up and not letting people say I'm never going to play a black guy, deter them from saying you should play this song. Yeah, it's crazy to look back on the last 10 years. And, you know, now to see Kane Brown and Jimmy Allen and those guys having number one hits. And, you know, it makes me proud to be a part of that, to know that I had a little part in opening the door for those guys.
And I mean, and it did. Success found you again. Did it happen really quickly off that record?
I mean, some people would say real quick because it was my first single went to number one, you know, but we worked that thing for a minute. We were out there. You know, I went to 110 radio stations in like 2 months or something like that. You know, 5 days a week, 3 or 4 stations a day, every day. And you know, that was a lot of work, but, you know, it paid off. It's the crazy thing is that it paid off.
And you must, I mean, 110 radio stations is insane. That is crazy. And to think that most of the time, I don't know, did it feel like you were having to shake the shackles of Hootie off to re-explain yourself? I mean, I'm sure that's what everybody, you know, wanted.
Oh, goodness, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it was a curse and it was a blessing. It was a blessing because everybody would see me because of Hootie. You know, I mean, everybody, there wasn't one program director said, I don't need to see him. You know, they all let me come in the building because of Hootie.
Yeah.
And you know, but then once I got in the building, they didn't want to play my song because of Hootie.
Oh, geez. Right.
So it was that kind of, you know, it was that kind of thing. And, but you know, in the long run, I think the song, picking a song that was definitely a country song, undeniable. You know, it wasn't Hold My Hand with Fiddle on It. You know, I mean, having a real song that we could release as a country song and going through all that, I helped a lot. And, you know, once it started happening, people just, you know, like I had a couple guys tell me, who are now like they're my champions. Like they're that kind of guy. If I need an extra spin to go to number one, you know, these are the guys that'll play it twice for me, two times in a row. Yeah, you know, accidentally with air quotes, two times in a row. But I had them tell me that they didn't think the audience would ever accept an African American country singer. Told me straight up, just like that. My audience won't accept you. I was like, wow, never heard anything like that before.
Right.
I mean, that you got to be kidding me. But they weren't kidding. But, you know, now, you know, people realize that's not true. And they're, you know, you got guys having big hits.
Yeah, these are the same program directors that would say, "Oh, we're already playing a woman musician in rotation. We can't have a second one."
I never
understood
same
the parameters of any of that.
Exactly.
Yeah,
well, exactly, same people.
Yeah, and that does bring us back to the present. So you all are announcing the group therapy tour. That's a fun title. Is there any story behind calling it group therapy, or just for the fun of it?
One of our favorite bars in our college town that's been there for 50 years, was there 20 years before we got there, and probably be there 20 years after we leave. It's called Group Therapy. We always stop by there when we're in town, so that's where it came from.
Yeah, and a little spotlight on the other guys, too. I mean, what have the other guys been up to? I mean, obviously, it's easy to keep up with you, but what have the other fellas been doing lately?
I mean, it's been great. You know, Mark, our guitar player, is a college professor now. He's basically started the music program at College of Charleston, and he teaches. He's taking next year off, but he's a college professor. Dean is in the wine business big time. Sony got remarried and got a really big family. So he's been making some records, but mostly just raising his kids. Everybody's doing great. That's why there was no rush for the last 10 years. Everybody was really enjoying their lives.
Well, I'm seriously excited to hear how this sounds and seeing you guys live again, but especially, you know, to hear what a new record sounds like at this point. I really can't wait. Do you know if there's a timeline on that?
Yeah, hopefully we'll have it out this summer.
Cool. Darius, thank you so much for talking to me about this. I really appreciate the trip down memory lane. And again, I can't wait to hear that new record and see you guys live.
Well, I'm pretty excited too, man. We'll see you on the road.
All right, man. Take care.
Take care, man.
A big thanks to Darius Rucker for the call right there. Looking forward to the new album from Hootie and the Blowfish. And, of course, 2019's 25th anniversary of Cracked Rearview. If you haven't already, please do hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening right now, whether that's on YouTube, on Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts from. After that, head to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show every Monday through Thursday from noon to 3 Eastern, where you can also find some bonus episodes of this series. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time. Well, Darius.
What? Hold on a second.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, we lost. I don't know. The Jets, I think. I'm sorry about that, man.
It's okay.
Walking down the street, some homeless guys asked me if the Dolphins won this weekend. I'm like, is that really the question?
Oh, one little line in a song and it'll follow you forever.
Well, exactly. One line.
Consequence Podcast Network.